I'm so glad we are in the presence of the Lord. So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And so, Lord, we appreciate your presence today, and we welcome your presence in our midst today. And we bless you for all the goodness, all the generosity, all the guidance that you give to us in our lives. Lord, we commit our study to you today as we draw to a conclusion of our study in Zephaniah. We pray that your Holy Spirit might impress your truths deeper on our hearts. And I commit myself to the authority of your Holy Spirit, that he will speak your word through me. And I pray for the hearts listening here today and those who will listen later, that your Holy Spirit might minister to them your word of truth, your word of comfort, your word of correction and encouragement. These things I pray with thanksgiving in the precious name and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, the Bible says there is an appointed time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. And there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. Well, there was a time when we started our Zephaniah series. Now the time has come for us to complete our verse-by-verse study of this brief and blessed prophetic book of the Old Testament. And what a better way to complete our study than to focus on the last three verses of the book of Zephaniah. It is a passage that is very personal and very promising. It is very personal because it prominently portrays God's personal commitment to accomplishing his sovereign and divine purposes for the remnant of Israel. It is very promising because it passionately presents to us the promising future that is awaiting the remnant of Israel. In fact, we are going to see that today in our concluding message of Zephaniah. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Please listen carefully as I recite Zephaniah chapter 3 from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. So I recite the whole of chapter 3 for us today. The Bible says in Zephaniah chapter 3, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the tyrannical city. She heeded no voice. She accepted no correction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. Her princes are roaring lions. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous within her. He will do no injustice. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are in ruins. I have made their streets desolate, with no one passing by. Their cities are laid waste, without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will revere me, accept instruction, so her dwelling will not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed for her. But they were eager to corrupt all their deeds. Therefore, chapter 3 of Zephaniah. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord, wait for me, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger. For all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal. For then I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. In that day, you feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then, I will remove from your midst your proud exulting ones. And you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will live among you a humble and lowly people. And they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Then verse 18, the Bible says, I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feasts. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcasts. And I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. And the last verse says, at that time, I will bring you in. Even at a time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, the main idea of the last passage in our Zephaniah series, that is chapter 3, verse 18 to 20, is simply this. It is one of the most important main teachings in the book of Zephaniah. And that is, God will do all that needs to be done for Israel's restoration, even giving them a celebrated name in all the earth and for all eternity. In our previous study of this passage, that is verses 18 to 20 of chapter 3, we looked at the promise of gathering the remnant of Israel in verse 18. The God of Israel personally and passionately promises to gather the remnant of Israel who grieve about the appointed feast. Because they could not celebrate the appointed feast of the Lord in exile, the godly remnant of Israel, the Bible tells us, mourn over the first assembly. They were scattered far and wide, dispersed over the nations. But God promises that He Himself will gather them back to the land of their inheritance because they belonged to the land as its rightful citizens. Well, we also examined what the Bible teaches about the pastoral care of God for the remnant of Israel in verse 19. Using the language of certainty, Yahweh Himself states and speaks with great conviction of heart, making known to the remnant of Israel His pastoral care for them. In fact, because this is so important to God, He introduces His teaching, His uplifting teaching on His pastoral care for the remnant of Israel in a dramatic way. That is why verse 19 starts with what? The word, behold. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. So it begins with in a dramatic fashion because it was supposed to call for special attention to the hearers. Well, the Bible reveals four specific ways in which the God of Israel will exercise His pastoral care over the remnant of Israel. First, dealing with all the enemies or their oppressors. Second, delivering the lame. In other words, He will demonstrate His faithful and tender care for the weak and helpless. So, even if you are weak, it doesn't mean that God will abandon you. He will demonstrate His faithful and tender care for you. Third, drawing in the outcast. All those who have been driven away from their land, that is the land of Israel, the Bible tells us will be drawn in back into God's fold and flock. And then fourth, we'll see that God's delight in turning their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Only God could promise such a thing and actually carried it out. He says, I will turn Israel's shame into praise. So having stated confidently God's promise to gather the remnant of Israel, and having also spoken convincingly of the pastoral care of God, the Bible now specifies concisely the perfect timing of God in verse 28. Perhaps you are wondering, when will all the prophecies and promises spoken concerning the remnant of Israel be fulfilled, as we have been reading and learning of them in the book of Zephaniah? When will they come to pass? Well, the Bible is going to answer these questions for us in a moment. So this is where we now pick up our study, our message entitled, I Will Turn Their Shame Into Praise, to complete our Zephaniah series. So will you please notice what the Bible says in the first part of verse 20, that is the last verse of Zephaniah. The Bible says, at that time, I will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Notice the Bible uses the word time, how many times? Two times in verse 20a. The repetition is to emphasize the truth that God does all things at His appointed time. He carries out His purposes in His perfect time. He does everything beautiful in His time, as the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Now, the Hebrew word for time is eth. In this context, it means the appointed time, the right time, the proper time. It signifies an appointed, fixed, and set time or period. It is used of the appropriate or suitable time for a given activity in life. Actually, there are three principal situations which earth, the Hebrew word for time, describes. That is regular events. So earth can mean regular events, time for regular events, or the appropriate time for an unrecurring incident, or lastly, a set time. So in Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible is referring to what? The appropriate or appointed time. It is speaking of the proper or perfect time when Yahweh will bring in the remnant of Israel and gather them together for the fulfillment of the glorification appointed for them to be above all the nations of the earth. This is the time God has chosen to do that work. When he will make Israel above all the nations of the earth, even above the United States of America. God says this will certainly take place in his perfect timing. But the question is, what is that time? Well, the answer is the time of the Messiah's return, when the remnant of Israel will be regathered and become a source of blessing to the world, fulfilling their original destiny, that is, being above all the nations of the earth. This is God's desire for Israel. It is not Israel's desire for themselves. So, the Bible is telling us here that the prophet Zephaniah looks far into the future and saw that time when God will make Israel above all the nations of the earth. In other words, in the millennial day, God will do all that needs to be done for Israel's restoration. It will be a blessed and glad day for tempest-tossed Israel. After all their troubles, after all their tragedies, after all their trials, God will finally fulfill his purpose for them to be above all the nations of the earth. Well, now we come to the fourth and final teaching point of our last passage of 30 in Zephaniah series. It focuses on what the Bible teaches about the praise awaiting the remnant of Israel in verse 20. Speaking with divine authority and great conviction of heart, Yahweh himself tells us of the praise awaiting the remnant of his people. That is, regathered, restored, and redeemed remnant of Israel. Notice what the Bible says in verse 20b, the last part of verse 20. Don't take that part of Zephaniah for granted, because he's speaking of something very, very important regarding the future of Israel. I know some people have written Israel off, but if you read Zephaniah, it will be a book that tells you that God has not written off Israel. God has a lot more to do with this small nation called Israel. Notice the Bible says, indeed, I will give them renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Now please notice, first of all, the confidence with which God introduces his teaching regarding the praise awaiting the remnant of Israel. You say, where is the confidence displayed here in this last words of Zephaniah? Notice that the Bible says, indeed. The Hebrew word translated indeed is ki. You can use your key and think of ki. It also means surely in this context. So God is saying to the remnant of Israel that the praise awaiting them will assuredly be a reality in their lives. He will do all that needs to be done for them to attain the praise he willingly wants to bestow on them. And remember that it's not Israel choosing to want this praise for themselves. God is saying, I am bestowing this praise on you. Just as God bestowed his love on you and me so that we will be saved from our sins and prepared for eternity with Jesus Christ. He did that for you because of his love for you and because of his love for Israel. Now, second, notice, please notice the certainty of God shown in his desire to give Israel praise, the remnant of Israel praise. God uses the language of certainty to speak of the praise awaiting the remnant of Israel. Please see that for yourselves. It says, I will, not perhaps, not maybe, but I will give you what? Renown and praise. You see, as far as God is concerned, this is a done deal. When he says, I will do something, you can count on it. That is exactly what God will do. So God says, I will give you renown. He's certain about it. In other words, it's bound to happen. It will certainly take place, for Yahweh has spoken it. It will be fulfilled exactly as God has said. Oh, what certainty with which God made this promise to Israel. It may seem impossible for you and me today that the nation of Israel, which is so maligned today, will be given renown or a name and praise before God and before men. But may I say to you, it is possible for God because he says it and he will do it. He says, I'll give Israel renown or a name and praise. Now, the Hebrew word translated praise is tehillah. Tehillah. We first saw that in chapter 3, verse 19, where God says, I will turn their shame into what? Praise and renown. Tehillah means laudation, a celebrity, glory, or song of praise. Praiseworthy these. It occurs 57 times and in all periods of biblical Hebrew. It denotes a quality or attribute of some person or thing. It also means glory or praiseworthiness. In Isaiah chapter 62, the Bible shows that Israel is God's glory when she exists in a divinely exalted and blessed state. I will read Isaiah 62 for you. The Bible says in Isaiah 62, I'll read from verse 1 to 7. For Zion's sake, listen carefully, God is speaking. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet. Oftentimes, Zion and Jerusalem are used interchangeably. So we see that here. Until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said, desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem, listen carefully, a praise in the earth. So every time God speaks of Jerusalem being a praise, it's always in the earth. Now, The Hebrew word translated praise in Isaiah 62 verse 7 is also tehillah. Also, in some cases, tehillah, that is the Hebrew word for praise, represents the voice or songs by which God is publicly lauded or by which His glory is publicly declared. So what's the point of all this? Well, the point the Bible is making here by using such a rich and relevant word is that the praiseworthiness of Israel will be evident for all to see. Israel's name, listen, will be a song of praise. That's what the Bible is saying. Oh, how wonderful. This could only be the work of the God of Israel. Please listen. Israel's praise bestowed on them by Yahweh, the God of Israel, will be publicly declared unhindered, unchallenged, uncontested, and unceasingly. I tell you, friends, only God could make such a bold and blessed promise and actually bring it to pass without fail. You and I, one day we'll see that for ourselves when Israel's name will be the praise of the earth. Praise be to the God of Israel, both now and to the day of eternity. Now, third, please notice the comprehensiveness of the praise awaiting the remnant of Israel. But you ask, how comprehensive is the praise awaiting the remnant of Israel? Well, the Bible says the renown and praise God promises to give His remnant will be among all the peoples of the earth. All that is simply stated in three words in the original. Bekol Ami Ha'ares. Please listen carefully now. The praiseworthiness of the remnant of Israel will not only be declared in the land of Israel, but the Bible says in all the nations of the world in the millennial day. Instead of being justifiably shamed for their sins, they will be praised among all the peoples of the earth. Because of what? Because of the gracious salvation of God, of the God of Israel. I tell you, friends, there will be no place on earth where the glory or praiseworthiness of the remnant of Israel will not be publicly lauded. You and I will be among the people joining in that praise of Israel. Now, fourth and finally, would you please notice the convincing assurance given to the remnant of Israel regarding the future praise awaiting them? The Bible says, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Notice the Bible didn't say, if I restore. It says, when I restore. Now that is expressing certainty. God is saying to His remnant people, take note of this. Make no mistake of this, about this. What I have promised regarding giving you praise and honor among all the nations of the earth will assuredly take place. For I myself have decreed it, I myself have declared it, and I myself will do it. It will be so wonderful that you scarcely believe it, yet it will materialize in your sight. And when it happens, as surely as it will be a blessed and glad day for tempest-tossed Israel. That is why the Bible uses the expression, before your eyes. This is going to happen before your eyes. Now, this expression, before your eyes, does not necessarily mean that this promise will be fulfilled during Zephaniah's generation. Rather, please listen carefully now. It means that the praise and honor God promises to bestow on the remnant of Israel will be an obvious work of the Lord. In other words, the regathered, restored, redeemed remnant of Israel will plainly and personally discern the hand of God in it and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Do you remember a time in your life when you saw that what happened in your life could only have happened because God was the one who did it for you? Well, that's the time God is speaking about for Israel. That time will come when they will see, God, your hand did this for us. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that Yahweh, the God of Israel and the God of the universe, will bestow praise and honor upon the remnant of Israel and bless them with fame and renown in all the earth. Well, commenting on the last verse of Zephaniah chapter 3, Bible commentator Matthew Henry shares this refreshing and relevant voice. He says, and I quote, "Even those that reproach her shall be made to respect her. Those that said, 'This is Zion, whom no man looks after,' shall say, 'This is Zion, whom the great God looks after.' And she that was looked upon to be the offscouring of the earth now appears to be the darling of heaven. Even those that never knew her shall be brought to honor her." End quote. Such, I tell you friends, is the praise awaiting redeemed and restored Israel. All this is because God decreed, determined, decided to do that for Israel. I tell you friends, a day is coming when assuredly Israel will have a name and praise among all the people of the earth, not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles like us. And so, the book of the prophecy of Zephaniah begins with the words, "Devar Yahweh," that is the word of the Lord, and it ends with the words, "Amar Yahweh," that is, says the Lord, revealing that it is a God-centered prophetic book. It begins with sorrow and ends with what? Singing. It begins with sadness but concludes with one of the sweetest songs of love by Yahweh himself. It begins with judgment but it ends with joy. It begins with a bold declaration or proclamation of the removal of all things from the face of the earth. But it concludes with the words of blessing and promise for the nations and Israel. But these promises to the nations can only be realized when the blessing of God are upon the nation of Israel. Every day that the salvation of Israel draws nearer, listen, that of the world's salvation draws nearer. O Lord, hasten the salvation of Israel, because when God saves Israel, the world will also be saved. So the message of doom in the beginning of the book of Zephaniah becomes a message of hope by the end. How lovely. May I say to us today, there will be a new day when God will bless his people. If the leaders in the church today were to hear a message from a true and trustworthy prophet of God, the message will probably resemble the book of Zephaniah. Remember, the prophecy of Zephaniah came in the days of Josiah, the last godly king of Judah, before the Babylonian captivity. Under Josiah's reforms, the people did return to God outwardly, but their hearts were far away from him. Zephaniah therefore encouraged and exhorted the nation by the Spirit of God to gather together and pray for repentance and renewal. We must also ask ourselves today, is our reform merely an outward show, or is it changing our hearts and our lives from the inside out? If not, we need to gather together and pray to walk humbly with God, to do what is right, and hear the message of hope regarding the world to come. So now, what does this concluding message in our Zephaniah series mean to you? and to me personally. Well, please listen carefully now. Here is what it means to those who are genuine born-again believers. First of all, in reliance upon the Holy Spirit, trust God. Trust God today that He will fulfill, that He will accomplish, that He will carry out His purposes concerning you at His proper time, at the perfect time. He will do what concerns you. From birth to death, God will do always what concerns you at the perfect time, the proper time. Why? God will not fail to do what He has planned to do in your life, with your life, through your life, and for your life at the proper time. Second, tell God today, if you haven't done it today yet, tell God today how much you appreciate Him for planning all by Himself a wonderful future for you, which will come to pass before your very eyes. And third, thank God daily for not only redeeming you, but also promising to restore your fortunes at the proper time. That is what God wants you to take away from this concluding message of Zephaniah. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I solemnly say to you today that you have no one to restore your fortunes for you. Why? God only restores the fortunes of those He has redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In fact, yours is not a future of restoration and joy, but a future of facing the righteous judgment of the righteous church, the Lord Jesus Christ, into whose hand the Father has committed all judgment. But all that can change for you at this very hour. How? Simply turn to Jesus today. Tell Jesus today from the bottom of your heart that you are a sinner whose future is one of facing His righteous judgment if you were to die in your sins today. And trust Jesus today with simple, sincere, childlike faith that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that He rose victoriously from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And the Bible says you will be saved and set apart for the purposes of God, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and bless You today for the privilege of studying Zephaniah. I thank You for the life-changing lessons that You have taught us in Zephaniah. And I thank You for the challenges that You have brought to us in the book of Zephaniah. And I thank You also for the changes, the transformations that You have accomplished and will continue to accomplish because of the truths that we have learned from Zephaniah. And I pray today, thanking You for Your word, because the Bible is the word of God to us. Without Your word today, Lord, we will be walking in darkness and deception. And so I pray that Your Holy Spirit will continue to give us a hunger for Your word, to study Your word, to share Your word, and to also saturate our hearts with Your word, because that is where You do the great work of transforming us into the blessed image of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, I pronounce Your blessing upon Your people. Indeed, I'll give You renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore Your fortunes before Your eyes, says the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.